So I've been working most of this past week in Toronto. Keep me in your prayers. Anyway, it's a cheap shot. While there, I was doing a lot of work with a couple of different clients talking about the quality of conversations. So a little backstory on this. A teacher of mine, Juanita Brown, has this great line. She says that conversations are to humans what water is to fish. It's our milieu. It's the environment in which we operate. And so we might ask, what would happen to our workplaces, for example, or the world more generally, if we increased the quality of our conversations even by a little bit? What might that start to look like? Well, we might first of all ask ourselves, well, what do we mean by quality? And in the workplace, and I think this is true generally, but still learning on that. In the workplace, we say that quality conversations happen when those harder interpersonal conversations result in a positive change. So the tough conversation results in some kind of positive change. Or put another way, when both the participants in the conversation are able to find a balance between advocacy, that is speaking my truth, and inquiry, that is hearing your truth and respecting that. And when that happens, and there's a positive change for at least one of us, now we have a quality conversation. Does that make some sense? So, a key element to this quality of conversation is to ensure that everyone who's participating is actually thinking. And that's a lot more difficult than it sounds. In fact, in the workplace, most of the conversations that we engage in involve a lot of telling and being told and not much thinking for ourselves. Most of them sound like, this is what you need to do, or even worse, this is who you need to be, or here's your goal, or here's the first step, then the second step, then the third step, then ad nauseum. There's a great deal of advocacy, very little inquiry. The downstream result of that, it seems to me, is that we live in a time when we are actually habituated to spoon-feeding and being spoon-fed. In fact, great workplace conversations increase the inquiry side. So we're asking more questions like, well, what do you think? What do you see as your goal here? What are the steps you might take? What connections are you making? So I'm curious. I'm really curious here. How often at work do you get asked what you think? So I'm going to do it this way. Show me 5 fingers if it's 100% of the time, 4 fingers if it's 80% of the time, so on, being careful when we get down to 1, which finger you show me. But on a scale of 1 to 5, where 5 is 100% and 1 is 0, how often at work do you get asked, what do you think? Please show me your fingers. Oh, cool. Oh, interesting. Oh, that's very cool. So there's an interesting blend here between 5s, 3s, and 2s. That's really cool. So those of you who are 3s and 2s, especially, I wonder what would happen to the quality of the conversations in which you engage if you got that up to, if you were a 2, you got up that to 3. Or if you were 3, you got up to 4. What would happen? What would that look like? And you see, in the Hebrew text, and I'm so excited that Laura's coming on the October 14th. Quick, what's it called? A plug, quick plug. Laura, Rabbi Laura Dunham, is coming here. She'll be preaching on October the 14th. Make a note of that. Come here. You can stop listening to me. Just come here on October 14th. So in the Hebrew text that we heard that Anna read this afternoon, I'm going to suggest that much of the biblical text handed to us from Judaism is actually implicitly or even explicitly asking us, What do you think? What are you thinking about this? And Lawrence Kushner, in his wonderful book, God Was in This Place and I Did Not Know. I'll explain that in a moment. God was in this place and I did not know. Kushner writes, quote, "The words of Torah are infinitely analyzable. They strike each recipient in a way appropriate to his or her strength and life situation. The words of Torah are holy because they provide a glimpse into the infrastructure of being." Isn't that a great phrase? The infrastructure of being. "The words of Torah comprise a single living organism animated by a secret life which streams and pulses below its literal meaning." A single stream pulsing below the literal meaning. And so when we're looking at a biblical text, we need to ask, what do you think? How does this passage have meaning for you? We must always then enter into a quality conversation with the holy text, this living organism, listening for what it's advocating for and inquiring what that means to me. So it's important that we have people who come and preach here, people who have taken the time to think, to reflect, to offer our own perspectives. But think of these sermons as an invitation. This is what I think. What do you think? And here at St. Bee's, we're welcome to do that, to explore, to wonder together. It's what Ellen Clark King, the former vicar here, called a choral theology. Choral, spelled C-H-O-R-A-L, a choral theology. That's a quality conversation about theology. Inquiring and hearing, advocating and speaking, honoring other people's voices, advocating our own voices in a humble confidence, understanding I may not be right. I probably am not. It's a quality conversation that can result in positive change. So I'm going to invite you to do a little choral theology. Let's have a little quality conversation. There's two amazing, well, there's lots of amazing lines in what Anna read tonight, but two that struck me. The first one is, God was in this place and I did not know. Did you hear that? God was in this place and I did not know. In the Hebrew, there's actually two I's. It's God was in this place and I did not know. And it's usually, when it's translated into English, it's God was in this place and I, capital I, followed by a little I. Yeah. Followed by a little I. God was in this place and I did not know. Rabbi Kushner's book, by that title, takes this one sentence and provides seven different interpretations from rabbis stretching over 1,000 years. Each of the interpretations is entirely unique, complete, and wonderful on its own. And each are exploring ideas of this infrastructure of being, this piece of self, this piece of relationship with God, relationship with each other. God was in this place, and I did not know. What did that mean for you? The second line, and there were angels ascending and descending. Think about this. Angels ascending and shouldn't it be descending and then ascending? Shouldn't they be coming from heaven? Were they already here? Are you with me here? What does it mean to say that angels were ascending and then descending in that order? Again, many, many interpretations over 3,000 years, each particular to individual strengths and time and place. So what I'm going to do, I've got some papers. You're going to mark them. These are papers that people... So I'm going to hand out some papers. If you could take one, Ben, pass them along. Take one, pass it along. And there's pencils, too. Yep, thanks. Thanks, Casper. Take one, pass it along. Marianne, take one and pass it along. Okay, so... And if you've got a pen or a pencil, that would be great. We've got some coming. And this is actually going to take a little, this will take the place of our reflection together. All right. And there's more, like, let's get paper to the back. Has everybody got something? Got a pen and a piece of paper? Or a pencil?
There's pencils.
Pencil's coming. We need the pencils back, otherwise Vincent will be very angry with me. I'm not sure what that banging is. Okay, so let's dive in. So what I'm going to do, let's all kind of be quiet for a moment, or just sit for a moment, come into a quiet space for yourself, and I invite you to focus first on your breathing. So just breathe in and out, breathe in and out. Make sure both your feet are on the ground, that's the ideal, both feet on the ground. And I'm going to read both of the sentences, and when I do, I just want you to write down the one that has the first meaning for you, like the first thing that kind of the first, oh, that's interesting to me, it kind of catches you. And then I'll invite you to think, what does that mean for you? Okay. So here's the first one. God was in this place, and I did not know. And the second, and there were angels ascending and descending on the ladder. What do either of those mean for you? Make notes in silence right now. Another minute or so to finish your thoughts. All right. Now what I'm going to invite you to do, just as you're finishing up, what I'd like you to do is turn to a person that you don't know. So somebody that you don't normally hang out with. So what's really important here is that you're not going to talk to somebody who already knows probably what you're going to say. Right? You want to learn. You want to get a little different perspective. So have a quick look around. Turn to a person that you don't know. It may mean that a couple of you have to move a little bit. That's okay. Please do that now, and I'll call time in a little while. So have a quick conversation balancing advocacy and inquiry. What does this mean to me? And it doesn't matter. If Casper says something that's outlandish, that's okay. What does it mean for you? Quick note sharing. So I'm actually going to just let this sit. Let's not hear out from folks. We'll just let this sit. My wondering for you is an invitation is to keep thinking about this. In fact, when you wake up tomorrow morning, you may well have a new insight. So have a good sleep tonight and just wake up and see what's in your mind about whatever line it is. Take this piece of paper home. And I want to suggest to you that we need to have more quality conversations with each other. We need to spend more time advocating and inquiring with each other. We're called as human beings to think, to explore, to wonder, and to learn with and from each other. All too often we are being spoon-fed. We are slurping the pablum that others are supplying us, and it's time to grow up and feed ourselves. And that is very, very difficult work. It is so difficult to think for ourselves. It's much easier to believe just what other people have said. We ourselves need to sift through all of it, at work, at home, and in our communities, to find the kernels of truth that have meaning for us right here and right now. And that journey is best done in small groups, like here at St. Bee's, learning and thinking together. And so I wonder, what do you think?